misty. It's really weird. So we're glad you're here this morning. Just be praying. Devon and I are kind of not doing that well. So I'm not singing today. Just keep my voice for speaking. So let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can just be here. Father, we just pray just not only for those in this room that are not feeling all that well. Father, we know there's others that aren't here this morning that have stayed away for the same reason, because they're not doing well themselves. And Father, we just pray for your healing hand on each one that's not feeling well this morning. And again, we just continue to lift up those that are just not feeling well. And we just pray that you touch their bodies. And we just pray that you just have your way and your will in our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
And will you stand in worship with us this morning?
The battle belongs to the Lord.
celebrate this morning. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not yelling at you. I just have a cold. I don't mean to yell at you.
Free in ways that we never should be.
from the way my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries, for you alone be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sees a brand new song. The dead is paid, his chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, you know our hearts don't deserve your glory. A love we cannot afford. Like hinges straining from the way, my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries, for you alone be glorified, Emmanuel, God with. Such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet. All that is within me cries, for you alone be glorified.
Thank you that because of the sacrifice of your Son, because of your power, because of your love for us, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We are more than conquerors in Christ. We thank you. We thank you. This life offers a great deal of discouragement because it's so temporary. Everything we see here. We were just talking in Sunday school in the Hebrews 11. These all died having not seen the promise. So much hope in the eternity of your kingdom, God, and we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side.
Sacrifice that covers our sin. We are invited to eternity with you, God, and we thank you. Let us speak that message. Let us walk in the joy and the confidence of that. Let us love those around us and let them know of this hope. Of this hope. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'll do my best not to sniff and blow my nose and cough into the mic. So, it'll be a challenge this morning. Oh, did you guys have a good Christmas?
Excuse me, Mark?
Yeah? What's your question? Is it school? Oh, is there class today? Do we have a teacher today? Yes? No? Looks like kids are with us today. You just got the cover, color. It's going to be good. I won't make it too long. All right, did you guys have a good Christmas? Goddard, you didn't get anything for Christmas, did you?
I didn't get a guitar.
You got out of all the thousands of things he got for Christmas yesterday, the guitar is his most favorite thing, which I think is awesome. And he was driving his Uncle Michael nuts about wanting to teach him how to play it to him yesterday. Yeah, it was awesome. I love it. All right, cool. No, it was good. Yeah, it's always fascinating to see how God works things out. I'm not telling you the story to necessarily brag about my wife, although I'm super proud of her, and she kind of blew my mind. Christmas Eve, if you were here for Christmas Eve service, it was a great time. If you felt rushed out of here, there's a reason. hopefully you weren't offended because my daughter was like shutting lights off and like trying to kick everybody out. So we went over to my daughter and son-in-law's house Friday night, and you know, dinging around, and Brian went to the store, which is literally right across the street, and he was gone for like 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, what are you doing in the convenience store? Well, he wasn't at the convenience store. He's waiting for my other son to get there, because they pulled out of the shed. My wife had bought me a motorcycle, so that was pretty cool. So there's a long story. It was about almost four years ago now. I had a motorcycle, and I had it stored here at the church shop or shed behind the building here, and it got stolen out of there. And so I've been motorcyclist for about 3 years now. And so, but what was really cool is that what I didn't know about the story was 2 weeks ago, Thursday, I was just having one of those crises of days, and just everything was kind of coming apart. And I was here in this building by myself, and I just had one of those meltdown moments with God. And I was up here on the platform by myself, just crying out to God. And just have just one of those kind of days. And that was a day that, you know, my wife was praying for me and said, you know what, God, I just need you to show him how much he's loved, right? And this opportunity to buy this motorcycle came about. And so it's just really cool, these simple little things that we don't think that God cares about a motorcycle, right? God cares about a motorcycle. Because it's not just a motorcycle for me. Yes, it is, but it gets me out into the wind. It gets me where I can just be alone with myself and with my God, and it's a good thing. And I know some people think they're dangerous, and they are, and I get all that. But see, God likes motorcycles. God's a motorcycle rider. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it. Whatever. So it was. It's just really cool. Like I said, it's a beautiful gift. I was absolutely not expecting it at all. But the provision and the timing of it is even more important, is even more brilliant and amazing to me, even more than the motorcycle. So I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, that's the only reason I tell you that story, just because I think that, you know, there's a lot of times I know that we go through hard things and we wonder if God's really there. We wonder if he's really listening when we're crying out, when we're in despair, we're in all these different places. He hears us. He definitely hears us. And I was like, okay, God, where do you want me to go at the end of 2021? It's been a crazy year. And as we think about this next year coming in, this is the last time we'll get together before the new year. And God, where do you really want me to go? And he's like, you know what? Where did you leave off before we started this Advent season? So we're going to be back in Philippians chapter 4. We won't finish it up this year. Hopefully next year. First couple of Sundays we'll get through the rest of this book, but I think it's just a beautiful conclusion to 2021. We're not 22 yet. 2021, I think it's just a beautiful thing to think back on the year that we've had, some of the things that we're going through right now. I mean, there's pain in the room right now this morning. I know there is. Because this morning I've hugged on people this morning that are in pain. Right. And I'm glad that they're here. Right, because it would have been easier to stay home and deal with misery and heartache than come to church and be around people. But that's what we want here, amen. We want people to come here and not play the game. If you're in distress, if you're in anguish, come here and let people love on you. And if that's not the culture that we've created or something, we need to work on that, and we'll continue to work on that. Because I would love to come in here and have our whole morning messed up. I've talked about that before. I would love to come in here at the start of the service, something major is going on, and we don't sing a single song. We just minister to the person. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be church? Wouldn't that be a family? Right? So here we are in Philippians chapter 4. 5 weeks ago, we looked at verse 4, and I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to preach it again. But Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. I don't know about you, but I don't know. Sometimes my reasonableness isn't the first thing that people describe me as. Right? Is Pastor Mark always reasonable? Depends on the day. Depends on who you are. Depends on how close you are to me. The closer you are to me, I'm not always reasonable because there's no filters. There's no checks and balances. I mean, there is within reason. But the more I trust you and the more that I've given you permission to speak in my life, the more raw I tend to be. So sometimes I don't come across all that reasonable. But the phrase I want you to continue to think about this morning as we go through these verses is that next phrase, the Lord is at hand. So whatever you're going through this morning, whatever heartbreak you're feeling this morning, the Lord is at hand. 2 weeks ago when I was up here and there was no evidence in the building, I was sitting at the piano, absolutely getting decimated by the enemy. The Lord was at hand. And I haven't cried out for my daddy, and I use those words, up here sobbing like I haven't sobbed in a long time. Because I need to get broken down like that. Some of that was attacked from the enemy. I sat at a keyboard. I haven't touched a keyboard in 40 years. I used to play classical music. I could find middle C. Oh man, you think the enemy couldn't come at me? Like, dude, you wasted a gift that you had. Your mom was a music teacher. Your mom was a piano teacher. You had all these amazing teachers. And you can't play a simple note melody on the keyboard. But God was there. He was at hand. And obviously through all these things I already talked about this morning, the Lord is at hand. He's not far off. regardless of how it feels like in our lives sometimes, regardless of the things that we're dealing with currently, the circumstances that we're in, he is still here. And trust me, there are days I sit in my car or I'm alone somewhere, and him and I have some pretty aggressive conversations. Right? Because that's the kind of relationship I have with my God. And he can handle what's in my head when I say it out loud. Nobody else needs to hear that, but him and I can talk about that. He can handle whatever verbiage comes out of my mouth, because in the moment, that's what I'll have to say. Right? He hasn't gone anywhere. He's like, come here. I got you. Yeah. Yell, scream. I got you. I am here. Right? And the rest of these verses are awesome. The Lord is at hand. So if he is at hand, so keep this in mind. The Lord is at hand. So do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How easy is it to not be anxious about anything? Did anybody find that easy?
No.
Oh, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Right? Because we tend to wind up, we tend to get all stressed out. And I wasn't going to use any cross references today, but Father led me to probably a very familiar passage, about not being anxious. Matthew chapter 6. It's a long one I'll return to this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Very familiar passage of scripture on not being anxious. And I'm not going to preach this, I'm just going to read through it, because it's a whole series of messages in these few verses. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? Is the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, see, Lord's at hand, feeds them. Are you not more than value than these? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? That'd be nice, right? Those like to work a lot, and like, don't you would love to have a 36-hour day? Or, I mean, sometimes you try to make those, right? Those of you that like to work a lot. I'm not trying to look at too many people. I know some people like to work. Right, but there are days that you kind of wish that we had that, what was it, they extended the day back in the Old Testament. Was that Joshua?
Joshua,
he did that, you know, to defeat the enemy. God extended the day. I don't know if that's what, you know, has messed up our daylight savings time. I don't know when that started. I don't know. But, you know, at some point, Joshua prayed, like, God, we need the daylight to stick around so we can kill all these people, which seems like a really weird thing, right? But, so here's the thing. We can't add any hours to our day or to our life. We have a very finite time, and God knows the moment we are born, the moment we're going to end. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, there again, God's done the work, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So again, there's lots there, but the whole point of that is don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, any of those kinds of things. Now, saying that, we don't just get to live this life of like, well, I don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of me. He's going to drop off groceries on my doorstep, and he's going to shop for me. He's going to drop clothes off, although we kind of have that society now. We can get on the app and order our food. It's delivered to our door. It's kind of wild, right? And I've seen ads now where you can shop, and like, I saw something ad the other day where, like, you know, mom's running out of diapers, and she gets on this app, and the diapers are delivered to her door. I guess that's kind of cool. It's kind of weird, too. But here's the thing. But we still have to make some effort, right? We can't just sit on our couch and like, all right, God, job, you know, provide me a job. Well, no, you have to go out and put some effort into it, right? You have to go out and put some effort in. We can't just expect God to drop clothes off and food off and all those kinds. That's not what he's talking about, but saying, Don't be anxious about it. And I understand it's easier said than done. So going back to Philippians chapter 4, don't be anxious about anything. Why? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Wow. So often when I get in this place, when I'm stressed out, it changes my prayer life, does it not? Because then my prayer life isn't about supplication and thanksgiving. It's about whining and complaining and demanding and say, hey, God, you need to show up. Right? Anybody else pray like that? And I know by the tenor of my prayer where my relationship was with God. And a friend of mine recently talked about that. He's like, if I'm trying to find out somebody that I don't know very well, I have them pray. And I can tell by how they pray where their heart is. I'm like, that's an interesting determining factor. But it's true. I mean, it's not about flowery speech. It's not about that kind of thing. But what our focus is on, you can tell where someone's heart is by how they pray. The tone of their prayer, what their speech is. And what comes out, what kind of environment is created when they are talking to the creator of the universe. So I've prayed prayers that add more stress to the world than I should have just been quiet, right? Sometimes my praying is not the best place to go over other people. Right? But when I'm in this place of not being anxious, so I'm in this place of this reality that my Lord is at hand, then my prayer life changes because I know my Father is right there in my prayers of supplication, and I'm thankful for the life that he's given and the requests that I'm making. At the end of the day, it's like, God, I'm going to make this request, but at the end of the day, you are still God, and you have a plan that I don't know about. I've been praying for years for the healing of my wife. And there are days, so that's probably the biggest thing that Father and I go round and round about is the health condition of my wife. Am I going to stop praying and asking God for healing? No. Not until he literally says to me, son, shut up. I'm done hearing about it. It is what it is. I know people hate that saying, right? But until he tells me to stop, I'm going to keep badgering him, if you will, about the healing of my wife. And it's been, we're going on decades now. Right? And there's other people I know that have been praying for healing and other things for, and just asking God, and God just seems like God's not answering. He's not here, and he's just like, I don't hear you. He hears us. Because what it has done in me, this place of supplication, this place of like, you know what, God, I don't understand, and I get in yelling and screaming matches with him on time to time. But why? It's because I'm probably stressed out about other things. I'm anxious about other things. I'm forgetting that my Father's at hand. He's like, I've got you. Think about the little ones that are in this room right now. Are they anxious about anything? Some of them might be. I'm not a perfect kid father, but I know that my kids and my grandson and my granddaughter don't have to worry about anything. I've got them. And I'm a fallible human being. How much more when God is at hand? We don't have to worry about anything. You want to talk about total protection and total provision and total have everything figured out for you. There's nowhere we should ever be anxious about it. Because again, this whole idea of the Lord is at hand, we shouldn't be anxious in this place of praying and the peace of God, which we looked at a little bit last week, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Last week we talked about peace, and I kind of focused more on the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, but I love the rest of that. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. We need to get that really sunk into our brains. He doesn't go anywhere. I was talking to a friend of mine recently about this. In all the years that a lot of you have been here a long time, you know that my story and my journey to where I am now, all of my years of running from doing what I'm doing right now. There was 15, 16 years or so of me going, you know what, God, no, I'm not doing full-time ministry. I'm going to do something else. And he's like, okay, son, I'll give you all those opportunities. And all those years that I've ran, all those years that seemingly turned my back on God, when I finally said yes to him, did I have to go back miles and miles and miles to find him? No, I turned around and ran smack into his chest because he's right there. The Lord is at hand. And I love this, that this peace guards our hearts and our minds. And we think about this place of peace. And we talked about it yesterday. When there's not peace, there's no, our lives are all stirred up. And our hearts are all stressed out, and our minds can't think clearly when we're stressed out, and there's no peace. He guards our hearts and our minds. I mean, how many times have we heard about, you know, the world understands that. What are they after with our youth and our young people? The hearts and minds. You hear about that all the time, do you not? In culture, verbiage, it's always about the hearts and minds. If we can capture the hearts and minds of a nation or a group of people, you got it all. If you get their hearts and their minds, so if we get to this place of like, man, my heart and mind belongs to my Lord Jesus Christ. My heart and my mind is guarded and protected by my Father. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. Now, I love these words of Paul in verse 8. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's a list of things, isn't it? But if I don't understand who my Father is, and if I don't have this relationship with God, if I don't understand this reality that the Lord is at hand, I can't think about these things. Because I'm still caught up in the worry. I'm still caught up in the no peace. I'm still caught up in this prayer life that's all messed up. And maybe some of us have this idea of our relationship with Father isn't all that great. For a lot of years, I had the Old Testament God made a lot of sense to me. The judgmental. And you better watch out because he's going to get you for that. Kind of mentality. That made sense to me. And so there was a lot of worry and there was a lot of fear that when I messed up that, you know, I don't know how many times I got saved as a young person. Because every time I did something wrong, it's like, oh man, here I go again. You know, God's like, dude, you can't be more of a son. You did it one time, it's good. You're good. You know, it's just because you talk back to your mom, you're not going to hell, right? It's like, but I was living that place of fear. There was no peace, and it wasn't because of how our parents were raising us. It was this faulty theology in the heart of a young guy. My parents don't even know about the dad listens and watches it every week when he walks on his treadmill on Mondays. So he's going to be like, I never knew that because I didn't tell him. So he's going to be like, it's always funny to hear as an adult, your kids are going, I didn't know that. When did that happen, right? But this focus on what is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable, the things excellent and worthy of praise, think about these things. In the last couple of years, with all the garbage that's been going on in our world, the focus has been on what? Fear. Division. Let's get everybody on opposite sides of all the topics. And I'm just talking inside the church. What would happen if a group of believers or if the body of Christ really lived in this place of the things we're just talking about this morning? What if we rejoiced always? What if we were reasonable? What if that's what we were known for? What if we weren't a people that were anxious? What if our prayer life really impacted the world, our own world to start with. Because it's easy to say that we believe these things, but if we don't live in this place of the reality of the power that the Lord is at hand, the rest of this doesn't really matter. We can't live in this place of absolute peace. We can't think about what is true because we're getting our truth from other places. I mean, we've all heard that. The world thinks that there is no such thing as absolute truth. This is absolute truth. Anything that violates this is not truth. Anything that anybody that preaches differently than what is in the confines of the Word of God, you need to run from that. The day I don't preach from this is the day you need to throw me out those doors right there. And you forcibly pick me up and throw me out the door. There's not a lot of things that are honorable in our world right now, or just, or pure, or lovely, or commendable, or excellent, or worthy of praise. Why? Because we've forgotten that the Lord is at hand. We've gotten into these discussions. I'm okay with discussions and have those discussions and get into those if you want to have those conversations, but at the end of the day, what is the point? When's the last time you had a good debate with somebody and you were on opposite sides of an issue and you walked away friends? Anybody had one of those discussions lately? I used to have them all the time with people. I loved them. I love getting on the opposite end of a spectrum from somebody, either they didn't know Christ or whatever it is, and we were able to have these really heated conversations. At the end of the day, it's like, well, you can believe that, and I believe this, but we can still walk in unity together or have a civil conversation. And again, you know I love the bride of Christ, but I see so much of this kind of disunity inside the body of Christ. Because we have our own agenda. We get our feelings hurt. And instead of, we're always going to get our feelings hurt. That's going to happen. But instead of going to the person that hurt our feelings, we wander off because that's easy. And a lot of times, and I have told you countless times from up here, I will offend you at some time. I will hurt your feelings. I will say something you don't like. Please, I beg you, and I'm not being sarcastic about that. I beg you, please come. Talk to me. And if you don't feel comfortable coming talk to me by yourself, grab somebody that you trust to come talk to me. I don't care. Bring a group, please. Because I cannot fix what I don't know about. Because I'm going to mess it up. But I want to get to this place where it's true and it's honorable and all these different things. And I want to be something that is excellent. I want Wasilla Community Church to be full of people of excellence because they're following to God and they understand the Lord is at hand. And because he's at hand, I want to live in this place of power and freedom and life. Because the world needs to see it in us. We need to see it in each other. We need to be able to come in here like some of you are in here this morning just in this absolute anguish, and you come in here anyway. Oh man, that fires me up like I can't even tell you. And then verse 9 kind of starts meddling. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's a pretty sobering verse. What you have seen and learned, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Are our lives worth emulating? Are our lives worth copying? Are our lives worth, man, I want to be like that. I'm my own person, but man, their relationship that they have with God. I want something like that. We can have that. I want a prayer life like that person, because, man, when they pray, it seems like God just, like, they have a direct line. We all have a direct line, by the way. Now, I believe there's people that are prayer warriors, because I know a bunch of them, right? But we should all pray. We all have that access to Father. And we should all be able to look at each other and go, man, there's pieces of that that I want. And not just, like, think that, but we actually go and ask that person. It's like, man, how are you like that? And most of the time, they're probably like, oh, let me think about that, right? Because a lot of times, it's just years of walking with Father. And I think that word is called discipleship, if I'm not mistaken. And discipleship is walking alongside someone, having those day in, day out conversations. Yeah, so a lot of times getting into the word and studying and having those kind of things. But a lot of times sitting down and having coffee with someone. I have coffee with people all the time. And that's discipleship. And that's a new revelation for myself recently. It's just a different piece of discipleship that I did. Put a lot of stock into, because I always put discipleship into going through a book or going through a study, and those are great, and those are pieces of it. But the life that we do with each other, and those moments that we weep with each other, those moments that we just hug each other, not a word is said, because that's what all that's needed in that moment, because there's no words to say. When people are going through sorrow and anguish, there aren't any words. If Father gives you a direct word, finally say something, but the rest of the time, shut up. My mom is going to be horrible because she hates that word. But we get in the way because we try to have our own ideas, and God's like, look, I've got this. I'm right here. I've got all the answers. You don't have to figure this out. The God of peace is with us. I was walking through somewhere the other day, this not a new thing for me, but just more in the forefront of my mind. You think about the fruit of the Spirit. Those are part of us. Or at least they should be. And when we walk into a space, all those things should be pushed out in front of us like a wave. Right? All the joy, the peace, the love, all that should be just flowing out from us as we walk into a space. And that should be getting on everybody around us. And it's interesting when you walk into a store, you walk into a building, you walk into wherever you're at, and you have that mindset. It's kind of a weird thing, and maybe you won't all feel, but I definitely, it's like I can like feel that. It's awesome when you're just like, you know, you're having conversations with people. But when you're in that intense place of walking where God asks you to walk, and that God of peace is just dripping all over you, you can see it when it hits people. That's really weird. It doesn't always happen, right? But it should. We need, must change the atmosphere that we walk into because of who we are. No, because of who lives inside of us. Because the Lord is at hand. Because the God of peace is with us. No, I understand. It's easier said than done. I get it. But I don't have to do it in my own power, and that's the brilliance of it. Because Father empowers us to walk in this place if we're willing to surrender our ideas and our agendas and our thought process and our good ideas and all those things to Him and say, you know what, Father, whatever you want, as crazy as it might be, or it may not fit my timetable, which it never does, by the way. I just know from years of walking with my God that He can handle whatever I throw at Him. And when I shut up and surrender, it's a beautiful ride. It really is. And here's the thing, it's not always this calm, placid lake trip. Right? I haven't done it, but I've talked to enough people that like on these white water rafting adventures, right? it's exciting. They come back all fired up about how they fell out of the boat or something crazy, right? Or I have a really crazy friend that loves to skydive, which I want to do one of these days, right? It's all this excitement, right? That's what I see on this journey with God. It's like you're in this whitewater raft, man. You're just getting bounced all over the place, and every once in a while he has to snag you or drag you out of the water and throw you back in the boat, right? When you think your chute might open, God's like, yeah, I got this. Watch this. This is going to be really cool. It's an exciting ride. I don't know. Maybe someone wants a calm ride. I don't want a calm ride. I want a ride that's exciting. And does it get all twisted up sometimes? Sure. When I forget where I'm at and who's in control when I think I got the wheel, holy cow, that's not a good thing. Teaching my young children how to drive a car is not the most exciting place to be. It's exciting, but it's not the most secure place to feel when you have no control of the steering wheel or the gas pedal or the brake or in some places the clutch. We run into dumpsters. But anyway, I know it's just one time. But it's an adventure. When we understand, I know I'm saying this over and over, and I need to drive home because I need to hear it too. The Lord is at hand. He's not far off. And I know it's easy to have the enemy speak to you about how your God has forgotten you. Your God doesn't love you. And you seemingly have evidence. And God's like, stop listening to that liar. I'm right here. Listen to my voice. Don't listen to the world's nonsense. Don't listen. Don't let them teach you my scripture. Don't let them say there's nothing true and honorable and all those things. Don't let them say that, because I'm saying I am still in control. I am still at hand. I'm still the God of peace. That surpasses all understanding. And I will guard your heart and your mind if you will listen to me. That's what Father's saying to all of us today. The Lord is at hand. Father God, this morning, man, I needed to hear that more than anybody else in this room this morning. I needed to be reminded, Father, that you are here. You're here right now. Holy Spirit, you're in this room right now, because we know from your word you say that you indwell each one of us. And I don't know how that all works, right? But Father, I know it does. And I know the enemy's trying to take us out through sickness and all these different kinds of things. And Father, it's just been this amazing ride. And Father, I know there's absolute pain in this room this morning. I feel it and I know it. Father, I trust that you're here. I believe that. I have to believe that. Because if I don't believe that, there is no hope. There is no peace. There's nothing if this isn't true. But I know it's true. I've lived it. I know there's people in this room that are living it and have lived it and will live it. And we need to live it together. We need to continue to be that peculiar people that stand out, that stand up, that live this life of freedom and peace. Father, we're wrapping up 2021. I see exciting things coming for 2022. But it's only exciting if our focus is on you and not on what the world says it's going to be like. Father, I'm praying for new wine this next year in all of us. For those of us that have been walking with you for a long time, Father, I pray that we're not just stuck in a rut and that we're just comfortable with where we're at. Father, I pray that we would like, man, you're at hand. Where are you at hand in my life, God? I want to step into something new that you're leading me into. And that's going to take a lot of your peace overflowing that, because I know you're not a small thinker and you love to stretch us. this morning, I pray that we walk out of here this morning with a new sense of your presence in our life. I mean, I'm talking physical presence today. Maybe some of us have never felt that before. Father, I pray today that we just get that sense of a hug or a touch or arm around us or however you know to speak to us. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you just sing with us? We're going to do it. This wasn't planned, but it just keeps going round and round in my head as Mark is talking. Nick, I'm not sure the name of this song, but it's a pretty simple little chorus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. You ready? Do you know it? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Awesome. You are dismissed, and we'll see you next year.